You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own stories and to share our content with others.
Your love was seen by all the world when you went to the cross. That's how we know God's love is real. But you were sent and then poured out that love on. Right here in me, a sea of love inside of me. A fountain waiting to be freed. I love.
God so loved the world that he gave and continues to give. From childhood, I was immersed in the stories and the words of Jesus. Especially penetrating and etched in my mind were those encounters with sick, crippled and possessed people. At first glance, the miraculous moment of healing, reformed limbs, and fleeing demons is what the spotlight was focused on. But over time, a change in the depth of field brought what seemed insignificant into more and more crisp clarity. The accounts record, he saw them. He listened to them. He had compassion on them. Not just an emotional, sympathetic reaction to suffering. Yes, that. But universes more. He didn't just feel their pain. He responded with what would be natural only to him. Here, let me fix that. That would produce a nagging question that went something like, since you've said many times to your disciples, here, you do this, and that we would do even more than we saw or heard that you did, Lord, why can't I go to the side of someone being tortured by pain or deformed and suffering in a wheelchair and say, be healed? Over and over, this would be my question. Then when I was older and going through my own death-to-life transformations, the question came back around again. This time I heard him say, Terry, when you love like I do, you'll heal like I do. God so loved. So refers to the defining DNA, God's DNA, God's way. That couldn't be about the power or accomplishment or the overwhelming need of humans. It had to be His move, His touch, motivated and powered by His love, a reflective expression of God loved the world like this. Then the book, the Word made flesh, becomes flesh in me, where He walks in my shoes, with the person He goes there to talk to, touching, speaking, smiling, all that He is right there in me, being full of the Spirit, full of His disposition, His mind, His agenda, in expressing Himself through my body, given to Him as my reasonable action, as the genuine worshiper the Father is looking for. Why? So He can keep giving Himself to the world. He so loves the world, and you are the human body for Him to clothe Himself in and physically show it. Our job is just to get busy and make sure His DNA is flowing through our souls. There's one place to get that. There's one name to call. My special guest today in my living room is Aaron Calegari, a very famous name in several countries, but very famous in my home. We met her and her husband many years ago in Freiburg, Germany. I believe that was the first place we met. No.
We met first at Horizon.
At Horizon? Before that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a memory that goes back that far.
Okay. 1982? We met. Yep.
82?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But I would say we solidified our friendship when you came to Freiburg and you spent time with us on the mission field.
Yes.
That was the refreshing of the friendship.
So, in 82 at Horizon, mm-hmm. and that was at North
yep.
Park, obviously, North Park Theater. But before we go any further, welcome, Aaron. Thank you for submitting to this abuse.
You're welcome.
Aaron is really a veteran of special kinds of missionary work. It's never been normal, has it?
No. No.
or traditional, or however you want to say it, whatever people picture when they say missionaries, the Calegaris don't fit that at all. But they would wind up in places where the Holy Spirit gifted, they were so gifted at learning the language of the country the Lord would send them to, and I'm pretty sure that that's a function of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I remember the story of the languages at the day of Pentecost, and these guys never studied anywhere, and they were just speaking the language of the people who were listening. So I'm encouraged by that, even in my own situation. But in yours, I was just blown away
mm-hmm.
because you were in Greece.
Yes.
even before Germany, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And was that the first country you guys went to? Was Greece?
We actually went to Mexico first for 3 months of cultural immersion. And that's where we learned and opened our eyes to what it means to learn a second language, live in a second culture, learn how to clothe the gospel with that culture so people would want to see Christ and be invited into that conversation. And it came first and foremost by learning how to speak the language and live amongst them.
Uh-huh.
So first it was Mexico.
Yeah.
We were down in Tijuana and we lived right there in the slums. And then we went to Greece, and we were in Greece for a number of 9 years.
Nine? Wow.
Altogether.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Mm-hmm.
Good grief.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder you knew the language.
But at first, when we saw all the Greek letters, we thought, oh, my word.
You learned to read it, too?
We did.
Smart aleck.
And sing it and pray it and dream in it.
Oh,
they say... When you have a dream.
You dreamed in Greek?
Yes, absolutely.
That's very Hellenistic of you.
It is. Orania means dreams in Greek.
Oh, my goodness.
But the linguists who study languages, they say that when you actually dream in a second, third, or fourth language.
Then you're done.
You are fluent. You can then pray, and you can then worship from your soul in that language. But most of us worship in our mother tongue.
Wow. Who would think of such a thing?
Not I. And I never even desired to speak other languages. But when we came there to Greece, we said first year is dedicated to learn how they live, why they live that way, dive into their culture, and learn their language.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that when you speak the language of the heart, you speak the language of the people.
Yes. And that's why music is so important.
Yeah.
Because it is a special language that God has created to communicate heart to heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a little bit of fruit from the Greece thing, I got to witness firsthand. When we came back to Germany, you guys weren't at Freiburg anymore. Or were you still in Freiburg and you were just living outside the city in the vineyards or...
You came first, when we first started the church plant, and then you came back again.
You came back to Freiburg.
Mm-hmm. When we were getting ready to move to the next mission.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay, well, we did some kind of service, I don't remember what, and then we're coming back to the house, and we go, wait a minute, we haven't eaten all day. And so we turn around, we pick you up, and we go, I mean, it's got to be midnight or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in Europe, that doesn't make any difference. Now I understand that. But but then I'm going, what's going to be open? Well, nothing. But it doesn't matter, evidently. We drove up to this dark building, and there's no lights on at all. And they go to the back door of this restaurant, and the porch light comes on, and people come to the door, and say, come on in. And they turn the lights on, and we go in, and they seat us at a table and start serving us. What should we order? I mean, it's late. Anything you want. And as we began to, you know, relax and know that we're supposed to be there, then the waitress, who's a beautiful young lady, you guys start to talk her up a little bit, and you find out that she has just come from Greece to be with her family. It's a Greek restaurant. To be with her family. And she was so lonely. She almost started crying right then when she was talking about having come from Greece to Germany. And you guys then told her that you had been there and started talking to her in Greek.
Yeah.
And she just about exploded. And the whole family was just showering us. They'd bring us something to eat or something to drink. You know, every 5 minutes they'd bring us something else because they were just blown away by you guys.
Yeah.
And I was blown away. I was just sitting there with my mouth wide open going, who are these people? Anyway, that's one of my stories.
Well, the beauty, Terry, of that.
That's what I'm after.
The beauty is that we chose to learn their language. Greek is one of the hardest languages to learn. It was our first second language. We now speak four fluently because of all the places we've lived.
Yes.
But learning their language, it ignites a connection that nothing else ignites. It's just like the language of worship, the language of the Bible, the language of Christ is international. And it ignites so much in people.
I think he speaks all of them. Okay, Mexico, Greece, Germany.
Yes.
And then Spain, right?
Yes, although when we lived in Thessaloniki, Greece, we were there when what was called the Eastern European countries, they were behind the Iron Wall.
Oh, yeah.
The Iron Curtain. We often would go into Bulgaria, and we worked there behind the Iron Curtain, and then when the wall fell, we had the privilege to help five young men start churches. So even though we didn't live in Bulgaria, we spent some years working there as well.
So do you have to be hidden in, under the back seat of a little car or anything to get across?
No, we actually, the way we did it, everybody has done it differently, but we would go in as tourists on a tourist bus from Thessaloniki, Greece. We would dress specifically so that they knew that we were not Americans.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we will know you are American simply by the way you walk. So the training we actually had to have in order to go behind the Iron Curtain was learn how to walk like an Easterner who was under communist rule and to wear their clothes. So we actually went in with a tourist bus, stayed where they could monitor us in a hotel room where we know they had
they
the
were monitoring
camera.
You.
Yeah. And then we did underground church meetings.
Wow. Well, that brings up my next quandary because, you know, I believe in God, the creator of all things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this continuity that we can discover as we go along, as we get more in tune with his creation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made creation like it is,
okay?
It's not going to budge until he says so. And I think, you know, obviously human beings are the only ones that really have a choice of tuning up to that.
Right.
And that's really the challenge, isn't it?
Right.
Because we were broken from that in the first family, and now the challenge is to kind of discover that as we go along. But we only do that by stepping through thresholds of obedience.
Yes.
So that we can see what he wants to show us. All right, because of that, I know that the continuity of your lives began this process, and when you decided this is what you wanted to do, I know there was a vision, a focus, a target that the Lord had given you. How has that changed in the processes from there? You don't have to go all the way back to the beginning of Noah and all that story. But for you, as you see it, how has that vision or that goal or the impetus, the engine of what makes you do what you do, besides just your love for the Lord, it's what he shows you that he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
How has that changed over those transitions?
From country to country, it's changed by what we do and where we're at in our own walk. But the goal doesn't change. That's what's so amazing.
Okay.
The goal stays the same as how can I know Christ and make him known? Wherever we're at, whatever language we're speaking, whatever our goal is in that country. But each country we've been in has been different. The people are different. The culture is different.
So you adapt to just accommodate that goal taking place.
First and foremost in every place we've ever been, how can I be the fragrance of Christ in this culture? I want to be his fragrance so that they're
so
hungry and they...
Knowing is a thing of the senses.
Yes.
It gets through the physical veil.
And that's where I believe that beautiful artistry of creativity of God, the master artist, is in us.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
And how creative he is. If we clothe ourselves in him, in the culture we're called to, it doesn't matter where we're called, right here, in our home culture, our host culture, we need to keep ourselves alert and aware of what he's saying. The goal is the same, but the situation, the people changes. And that's what it means to follow the Holy Spirit, to let him be the leader and the guide of that relationship, that conversation, that mission, that ministry.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there were more of us saying that to our culture, because we're reaping the whirlwind now of lethargy and It's not a spirit of decadence. It's a spirit of lazy, I'll take what I can get
mm-hmm.
kind of thing that gets out of hand when you really have something
mm-hmm.
of value to this world. And it's like we lose our minds.
Mm-hmm.
So what I need and what I want is that we communicate directed not just by a philosophy of what the Holy Spirit does, but directed by His thoughts.
Yes.
His words, because He speaks all the languages.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if I got stuck in a gulag somewhere and I needed to speak to somebody from the Lord, that He would speak through me, because He can speak through a donkey, so maybe I qualify.
That's good. We all qualify in that area.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's the inclusiveness
yeah.
of the Holy Spirit, because we're man,
mm-hmm.
and man is a special creature made in God's image.
Yeah, made for His good pleasure.
Yes.
It's like...
made for His fellowship.
His fellowship.
His intimate
mm-hmm.
fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
One as we are
as
one,
we
Jesus
are one.
Said.
Wherever you position yourself, that is where He meets you. And I have learned in all the diversity of my life, I want to position myself under the cross. I want to position myself in a heart of worship. I want to position myself where I can be taught. I want to position myself where I can serve and be His servant. That positioning that we do is what embraces, I believe,
yeah.
the Holy Spirit in our life, wherever we are.
Well, the cross is the pivot point, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? If we get off axis with that pivot point, we just read that this morning in Oswald's My Utmost for His Highest. He hit that one pretty hard.
Yeah.
If you get off axis and the cross, redemption, who Jesus is, then... Oh, we also read, Nancy's reading me this other book, J.B. Torrance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's from a Reformed tradition, but in this little book, he blasts everybody. And of course, the Word does that. When you're true to the Word,
yeah.
it kind of strips you of all your vestments. But he was very clear, if you do anything that doesn't have Jesus at the center, He's not the core of what's going on, then there should, and I'm saying this, there should be an alarm built in to our little pea brains that just goes bonkers, like the tsunami warning that they test every year here. But you said a mouthful with positioning yourself, and that assumes that that's work.
Yes, and choice. And an act of obedience, because
what?
I believe that Jesus is constantly inviting us to the cross.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is just gaga over Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
You want to talk to the Holy Spirit? That's what He's going to talk about.
Yes.
Come to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear Him say, come to me? Well, come.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah. He is the greatest cross-cultural worker that's ever walk the face of this earth,
yeah.
leaving the heavens to come to earth,
yeah.
leaving the holy to become man,
yeah.
but fully God. And yet He clothed Himself of the culture of that day. And so that's been our example. I want to clothe myself
exactly.
with Jesus the way Jesus did it.
Yeah.
I want to walk the way He walks.
Yes.
I want to be empowered the way He was empowered.
I just
want Jesus.
Yes. And if you just want Jesus, you've got everything.
Yeah.
You've got everything. Because He made everything. He is everything,
mm-hmm.
especially for we human creatures, because He made us for that
mm-hmm.
intimacy with Him.
I find also today, working a lot with the college-age students, that they're talking about their story. They want their story to be known. They want it written. They want it on video. They want it on YouTube.
Yeah.
They want their story. But if we go back to what is the greatest story ever told, the gospel message is the story that I want to continually have embedded and ingrained in my life every time I tell a story.
Yes, of course.
I want His story entwined as a tapestry in that. So when I work with the college age, I talk a lot about, yes, your story is valuable, but without the hand of God embedded within your story, it means nothing.
Yeah. How does your story relate to the core story?
Yeah.
The real story.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the issue. Your story may be exciting to you, but believe me, you're the only one that's going to buy it and pay your life for it. But if your life is coming out of Jesus' life. Your story is being created out of Jesus' story and his nature, his real presence, his personal, intimate interaction with you every day, then it's the real deal. And there's going to be consequences. I mean, if it's just my story, it's just going to lay there.
Yeah.
But if it's always leading, like what you're saying, it's leading back to that, there's a pointer there. Even if it's just a spiritual one, it's my life that makes that happen. If I'm intimately surrendered and walking and listening and paying attention to him as he walks me through what he's designed me to do today, then I can just say hi and it has an impact. Because there's ripples that go out from the life that's given to him.
Yes.
Well, talk a little bit about what you're doing now, which a big part of that is Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been other parts of it that have developed over time, but that seems to be the point of the spear at this mm-hmm. point. How did that develop out of these situations and circumstances that you were in these progressive transitions that you went through mm-hmm. Through the countries?
Well, as we had been in Mexico, Greece, did work in Bulgaria, Germany, and we were seeking God for the next place he was taking us to, when he did take us to Spain, which is a whole story in itself, we knew that we wanted to open a new door and an avenue of finding Christ, not doing a church plant. So
yes.
We believed that we were to do a art gallery type of cafe to where people could come into the conversation of who the master artist is by doing your artwork.
We'll be right back after this.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com. or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with him along the paths and among the people he has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
We believed that we were to do a art gallery type of cafe to where people could come into the conversation of who the master artist is by doing your artwork. When we went to Spain, we said, well, how do you do that? And again, we're walking with Christ through our prayer times, times of devotion. We're walking along the seaside. And all of a sudden, we get this inspiration that when Paul was living, what was the ends of the earth that he wanted to go to? What was the edge? It was what we know today as Spain.
Duh.
So the uttermost parts was Spain. And when we were studying that in our own devotions, like, that's what we need to do. We need to invite people here to what was once known as the edge of the world. Bring them here so that they can come close to Christ through art, culture, and faith, and living in community. And how do we do that? Well, the Lord said to us very clearly, take your life story that you've walked with me and pour it into this generation. Well, how? Invite them to come live with you, first and foremost. Okay.
Wow.
So we just started inviting people to come live with us and start community, and then expressing through the arts, then doing art shows, then finding a place that became our art gallery in this small little town, talking to people about what the expression of the art was and where it came from, and and what that meant by our faith, by we would have nights of worship where we would just create art. Whether it was the typical art, fine arts, with this painting or drawing or sketching, or the dancing arts, or musical arts, or the creative arts, or the theatrical arts. It just, it exploded.
Parenthetic, Erin is the tiny dancer. She's a dancer. That's what kind of sparked all this thing, I think, because she was so into the arts. Parenthetical end there.
And when I went to Greece, though, I would like to say, my first mission in 1986, the Lord was very clear and said, I'm calling you to a new life, and he gave me a new name. That's why I go by Ariana, even though I am born and raised Erin Caligiuri. Well, took on Caligiuri when I said I do, inherited that name. But he changed my name like he also did with Paul. And it was interesting that even today, people ask me, why do you hold on to that? You don't live in Greece anymore. Because he was very clear. That's what he called me to live a life where he was going to change me for the nations.
Yes.
So anyway, just a little tidbit. Yeah. But Edge Project has now become a summer mission program where we invite students, people of all ages, but mainly students, of this generation between 20 and 30 that are looking for the answers of who is God? Who am I? What am I living for? What is the conversation of life? And they come and they live with us. And we do a mini discipleship training course with them. Every summer it's a different theme. And we dive into scripture. We dive into lifestyle, culture, language learning, expressive arts. And how can we share our faith in Spain and bring it back to our host culture? We have people of all ages that come. But specifically, it is the college age that comes on their summer mission. And there's a little bit of the design that we model after Le Brie of Francis and Edith Schaeffer from Switzerland, as well as the simple concept of Acts 2, sharing all things in common. How can we be the first church? How can we emulate that today? Where the kids today, we have churched, unchurched, believers, unbelievers, artists, non-artists that come live with us. And it, to me, I see every single life, Terry. It just, it's amazing to me. Every single life comes face to face with God in that little town outside of Alicante, Spain. And they get transformed by the Holy Spirit through different acts of worship, dedication, teaching, artistic expression. It's amazing to me.
Alicante, look it up and look at the pictures of the place, and you will want to be there too. It's a beautiful little place. But isn't it incredible? Isn't it just one of the highest joys of your life to actually discover a person who is asking those questions?
Yes. Yes. I can't get enough to impart truth to those that want to learn.
I hunger for more of those. And I know that Jesus said to pray the Lord of the harvest for more workers. But I know where the workers come from. They come from those young people.
Yes.
or those middle-aged people. I mean, I've watched middle-aged people just right before my eyes flower as they digest and are immersed in God's incredible word. And there's just nothing like it.
Yeah.
There is no, I can't even describe what the feeling is. It's not just a feeling because it's connected with God's heart. I mean, it's like his response, and you get a glimpse of it when somebody actually is seeking for truth and doesn't care who gives it to them. You know, we all have those boundaries, and it seems like more and more the church has those boundaries. They believe the walls that man has built around their doctrinal bents and their dogmas and made dogmas out of them, and so a dogma is basically a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that Richard Wurmbrand said that blew my mind was that if you were in a concentration camp or a prison or a gulag where he was tortured every night for 14 years, first in the Nazi domination and then the communists, which were the worst, but they would torture him every night. And when he was finally released by a Norwegian mission, as he was walking from the prison, he wept. He thought his ministry was over because every single one of those people, even his torturers, who wound up in the terminally ill cell with all these people just thrown in there because they're going to die, he was the only one that didn't die. And everybody else that did die went to heaven because of him. But he said there is no dogma anymore when you get locked up in a pit and have only like tapping Morse code on the wall to communicate to people lost in darkness. The point is that these walls are killing us because God is, he's not the liberal version of tolerance. Okay, I have to make that very clear because that's become a demonic obsession.
Yes.
And possession in many cases. And its teeth come out to anybody who loves God, which is a badge of honor to us because we know that their teeth can't hurt us. But God is so complete, such a gatherer, a son that could gather us up in his physical arm. And I'm looking forward to that one.
Me too.
I can hardly wait. And it's going to be so wonderful to just gather around him. And we gather around him every day. You've been here. We've done it together.
Yeah.
Our mornings are very serious, intimate gathering with Jesus. And then he sends us out on our jobs for the day. But there's no separation. The only separation is the one that we choose. And that's what he gave us in the package of having his image, being made after his image. We have volition, personal, sovereign volition, just like a god. Jesus said that men are called little g gods because of that, because they can dominate, they can rule with generosity, they can rule with demonic domination. That's the spirit of the devil, domination, and an inflicted delusionary isolation, which in our country is called individuality.
Right.
It's the opposite of personality. Personality is soluble. We merge like the Trinity. And that's the duplication that he's making when he makes a human being. He's spreading himself out. And I've asked my students, okay, if each one of us that have become a follower of Jesus and are really serious about it, if we are indeed one of his body parts, then how many would it take to express all the aspects of his personality? And they, of course, do the same thing you're doing right now.
Wow.
Is they look and go, I can't count that big. And actually, it's all of them, at least, because there's no end to the depth and the height. There's no lid anywhere. And throughout eternity, he's going to be blowing our minds by showing us himself. He loves to show, make himself real, not just tell us philosophy. I'm done with that. I want to look him in the eye and be with him. I don't care what he's saying. I don't care what he's doing. I just want to do it with him. And in this age, I just want to be his lips to say it to whoever he wants to talk to. I want to reach with my arms and gather them up in His arms. And that's what you're doing. You're doing that. And it's such a joy to sit here with you knowing that we're connected.
Yes.
See, if we're the body of Christ, we're on our way, at least, to being one as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one.
Amen.
Because that's what He made us for.
Mm-hmm.
And the distinguishing characteristic of the persons of the Trinity is that none of them is obsessed with self-realization.
Mm-mm.
In fact, they're obsessed with totally being for the other, completely. That's how they gain their personality, how they gain their identity. How do we gain who we are? We lose it. Jesus said it so clear.
Right.
And yet we don't put it all together because we don't think of things in continuity, universal continuity. This universe has a limit. We can't see it because whenever we get to the point where we can look at some of it, it gets bigger. I think He does that on purpose. He's such a tease. But the point is that He's never going to quit showing Himself to us, and it's never going to stop being complete joy and fulfillment to us to see Him. See, that's what knowing, when Jesus says eternal life is this, knowing God and the one He sent. But that knowing is a continuous developing clarity, becoming clear of every aspect of who He is. And you see, I see one of the aspects sitting across from me right now. And from this isolation thing, we get the idea that we have to be like somebody else. No, be like Jesus.
Right.
And then we have this enormous treasure to give each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we give our lives to Him, then we are what we need to be to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to think about that. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because He's doing it. He wants to be one with you. So when I'm with Him and you, then I'm one with you as well. And what an incredible thing that only God could have thunk up.
Only God.
Only God could think that up. And He thought it up before the foundation of His universe was laid. Before He said, let there be light. The light says, let there be light. Now figure that one out.
Oof.
But they're figuring it out. Did you know that they're finding out that light is the basic element of all matter?
That's amazing.
Makes no sense to us, right?
But it's amazing to think about it.
Because we think matter is what you you can knock on.
Right.
He said, let there be light. That's the first thing He said, right? When He began the creation of the universe.
Right.
And the universe is His creation. It's a clock, and it's timed. And all these things that we hardly know about this universe, we're this little tiny part. And it's all for our entertainment. It's all for our good if we're loving Him. It's all for our giggles and our fulfillment and our joy and, yes, our tears and all of the stuff that makes us human extensions of who He is, His expression. You are a specific expression of God.
Yes.
You look like you do. You smile like you do. You have that tenor to your voice. You have that dance in your step. You've got all those things because you're expressing Him.
Yeah.
And He's ecstatic over that.
Mm.
He's laughing out loud. Not at you, but through you.
What a beautiful comfort of truth to receive that.
Mm-hmm.
I know sometimes when I dance for Him.
Yeah.
And I create poetry.
Mm-hmm.
On the dance floor while I'm listening to music and moving my body to that music. And I am His poema.
You are His music.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You are His song.
Mm.
And you can't hear it, but He can.
Mm.
Your ears aren't equipped for it yet. Someday it will be.
Wow. Wowzers.
If our ears were open right now, and we even heard one of the cells in my body, our ears would just explode.
Wow.
You've seen those pictures of what's going on in the cell.
Mm-hmm.
It's a factory.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all singing. Oh, we made another one.
La, 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 la.
One more protein, please. It's not silly. No. It's fun. And it can only get better and better and better and better and better. Well, what's been on your mind? What's been the edge that you and Jesus have sat on and discussed lately? What's at the forefront of the issues that are stewing between you and the Lord right now?
Well, there's so many diverse issues stirring. But right now, it keeps coming back to the word faithful. He is having me meditate over and over again on faithful, reading scripture over and over again on faithfulness and what that really means today. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be faithful, to have faithfulness, to be called a woman or a man of faithfulness? God is the faithful one, but he's been having me in every aspect of my life, whether it's personal, whether it's in the mission, whether it's in my marriage, whether it's my family, whether it's in my career. He's had me come back constantly to what it means to be a woman who is faithful, not just called faithful, but is. It's what we do. It's not what we think about. Yeah. It's not what we believe in. It's not what we think is right. It's what we do. You are faithful. This is what he's been really stirring in me in every area. And it's been hard. For example, the art gallery that we have there in Spain, a year and a half ago, the ceiling collapsed. And the concept of being faithful to the righteousness of rebuilding that building.
Mm-hmm.
For example, that's something that I am a constant...
That's a good example.
It's, what am I doing with that? I mean, what are you calling me to do with that? And what shouldn't I do? And what do I think I should do? But what does counsel tell me? What is scripture? So it's quite enveloping in faithfulness.
Well, that's a big subject, but it's also a very simple one.
Mm-hmm.
But simple is not easy for human beings who've been lost in the swamps of separation from God. So we're learning, but there's only a few things that we're going toward all the time. And this is one of them, because what does it mean to be full of anything? To be full means there's no air.
Mm.
There's not another oil slick that's up at the top. But being full of faith means there's a new discovery about how that's applied every situation.
That's right.
Because that's the way he's designed the world.
That's right, brother, yes.
For you to have this expedition through the circumstances of his created sequence to prove who you really are before the main event is what we're about. That's what we're doing here. There's no other issue. All the other things are superfluous and part of the challenge, part of the test, part of the training. It's all about the choice, because what you know is what you're responsible for. Now, when he says to see something that needs to be done, if it's put in your power to do and not do it, he said that's sin.
Right on.
Okay, well, that can make you have a nervous breakdown, especially if you're a sensitive dancer that sees everything in everybody and in everything. So how does that work when the ceiling falls in? Well, of course, you have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do the good that's in your hands to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more complicated than that because we have made it that way. We think it's complication to include other people to do other jobs that we don't know how to do. But see, that's the process. That person that you wind up calling to do a specific job that needs to be done to get the main job done was the point all the time.
Yeah.
And how do you handle it when that person doesn't want to do it right? How do you communicate? How do you personally respond? How do you react to not just the challenge, but the accolade?
Mm-hmm.
They're both the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're either a complete departure for us because we're so distracted by it that we lose our consciousness and our bearing, or we stand still and see the hand of God. We wait until he moves. We wait until he says, do this, do that. Because only then is it the right time. And time is really a very important issue. Timing.
Yes.
Is everything.
Patience is a virtue.
For us, we have to learn patience
yes.
to learn what time really is. God is making time, right across his universe, every cell, every emanation of light is recreated every nanosecond, recreated for you in your little sphere of challenge. I believe that with all my heart, because God is God, and he's a trip.
Well, if he's a trip, I want to be on that trip.
You are. You are definitely on that trip. This conversation has been a wonderful thing, Ariana. And I believe that we are headed for what the world will think is awful times. But for we who will, in the midst of that, enjoy a flow, an outpouring of his nature in and through people we didn't expect it to flow into and through, and see a glimpse of his body functioning that has never been since the fall of man, we are going to be full of his joy. That means we're going to be superhuman.
I love that. Amen.
Now, the world has a counterpart to that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're going to be selling it pretty hard. That is the mark. Because when you consort with a demon, then you're no longer redeemable. As in the day of Noah, so shall the last days be. People will be going on like it's normal, and it's not normal. But we will be rejoicing because we will snatch our loved ones out of the fire. Not by our power or our charisma. We will learn how to be skin on Jesus. He will, and has already, we just haven't enjoyed it all that much, but he has clothed himself with our skin, and he's going to show up big time and then say, come here, let's have dinner.
Hallelujah. I'm hungry.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Bless you. And as you learn more about faithful, you will learn more about joyful. Be filled with his joy. I'm glad we're part of that same body.
Me too.
It's fun. Because every once in a while we get to be up next to each other.
Yes.
And let his life flow between us.
Yeah.
That's what we're made for.
Yeah. It's like a flowing mosaic.
Yeah. That's right. Living.
Yes.
It's living.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it up.
Thank you, Terry.
Bless you.
Bless you. What a joy to be
here.
Be
well and full of the Holy Spirit.
Thank
his
you.
Nature, his personality. Because you're his special treasure.
Want to discover more about the Edge Project and how to get involved? Go to livingedge.org.
The time that we
All the music you hear me sing on this program, Terry Clark and Friends, is available at our website, catalystpeople.com, CATALYST, like in chemistry, people.com. Please come and visit us soon.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and your products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me
This is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.